Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Supplement take every day. MDriveForMen.com. Free shipping, 60-day money-back guarantee. Don't let age beat you. Powerful ingredients backed by science. MDriveForMen.com today. LeVar Arrington played for 7 years. Half of me was a pro bowler. And speak for yourself. You see him on all the time. He's been hosting this week. So it's interesting. Jason Peters, very good NFL lineman. He talked about Carson Wentz in Philly. And you know the Northeast. And he said, listen, man, it's hard to play in Philadelphia. And I was saying this earlier. There's four major cities in the Northeast. D.C.'s got the power. New York's got the money. Boston has the history and the academics with Harvard and MIT.
A lot of schools.
And Philadelphia's always had that underdog, rocky chip on their shoulder.
I like that.
And because of that, they overcompensate. Their media is relentlessly harsh. Their fans feel like, we're as good as New York and Boston. It is, I think, a uniquely harsh town to play in it.
I think that's well put.
And so,
well stated.
But it's funny. You played in various places. Are there places where you felt the heat more than others?
I played at Penn State, so that was a market that I'm connected to. We represented the entire state, so we had the best of the best of it and the worst of the worst of it. Because from being from Pittsburgh, we feel like our fans can be some of the worst fans too, because we expect so much. And then you look at the other side of it, and you look at Philadelphia, and it's like, they are the underdogs. They're gritty. We're both lunch pail, hard hat towns. We're very gritty. Steel mill workers as your grandparents, or coal miners as your grandparents, mill workers as your grandparents, and even your parents. And you bring that mentality to the teams you love to cheer for, Colin. And that's just what it is. So if you are considered to be soft, or a complainer, or a whiner, or an excuse maker, oh, you go wrong, and you go wrong quick. You get in that doghouse, you ain't coming out.
Well, think about Penn State. They were the national power that didn't have names on the back for players, and they had what we used to perceive as generic uniforms. It was about football.
It was about ball.
Not about individuals.
That's right.
You know, it's interesting. Quarterbacks now have opinions. I'm for it.
It's developing.
It is.
It's evolving.
Washington's interesting, LeVar. So I like their coach. I love their defensive front. And I think they have personnel offensively that's emerging.
They do.
They don't have a quarterback. So just say this out loud. Playoff team, March, they don't have a quarterback. Alex Smith is out. I don't think Russell Wilson's going to get traded. I don't. I think Deshaun's a long shot, but possible. What about Sam Darnold?
But here's the thing. I'm not sold on Sam Darnold being a guy in Washington. I really don't think he didn't show me in New York that he would be able to transition out of New York and survive in DC. For what it's worth, it's harsher on DC quarterbacks than New York Jet quarterbacks. So you
guys have had some good ones.
I mean, but think about what has taken place with the quarterbacks carousel in Washington, D.C., from Jeff George to Brad Johnson to Donovan McNabb to Rex Grossman. Like, we've brought in so many high profile names. We're going to learn a lot about where the identity of this Washington football team is. I've heard so many stories and reports from people internally and around the organization that says that the culture change is real. It's really beginning to take place. It excites me because that's what has always been missing. That's what has always upset me about my former team and why I disassociate is the culture. I don't buy into the culture that I played in and that I experienced. I don't buy into that. They said it has changed so much. And Ron Rivera and just Jason Wright and the type of guys, Tim Hightower is there. Doug Williams is there. There is a lot of great energy and positivity that's there. And if this is the time where you see them take the chances to get those big name free agents to come in like they've done in the past. If there's a time to do it, Colin, I would say do it now. Go after Deshaun Watson. Go after Russell Wilson. They've pulled it off in the past.
Yeah.
Go get it done this time. Why not in the moment in time where the organization seems to be taking a very strong step and stride in the right direction, that you go get the type of players that you went and got when you weren't taking steps in the right direction? Seems like an oxymoron. So switch it up. Do it now. Go get that guy now.
You're more pro Big Ben than I am.
I'm a Big Ben fan. I have a bias as a fan. But if you're asking me, am I pro Ben as an analyst, that would be a different response.
What's your – because I think I would have been working on replacing him about 2 to 3 years ago.
See, I think they did. I think they were trying when they were drafting, when they brought Mason Rudolph in, they brought other guys in. I think they were planning on replacing him sooner than now. I don't think that the guys panned out the way that they would like for it to have panned out. There were some coaching changes. So then there were philosophy changes, offensive philosophy changes. So I just think that the timing of it worked in favor for Ben to be where he is right now. And had things gone differently, I don't think that he would still be a Pittsburgh Steeler even for last season.
I'm going to throw an idea at you. Generally, every year, 8 teams need a quarterback, and they're often the crappy teams.
Mm-hmm.
Next year is different. The Saints, the Patriots,
mm-hmm.
and the 49ers may be looking for a quarterback.
Okay.
Also, Pittsburgh, Chicago, they don't have an answer beyond this year. Chicago didn't have an answer this year.
Mm-hmm.
Miami.
Mm-hmm.
Dak Prescott says, what's the recipe for Super Bowls? An A coach and a really competent front office.
Mm-hmm.
Cowboys have Mike McCarthy and Jerry Jones as the GM.
So what do you call that? What do you rate that?
I'm not.
Is that
not
good
an
coach
a.
and competent front office?
So I'm saying this. There's a sense in the media he's earned a long-term contract. Let's flip the telescope. Dak says, next year, in what is a bad year for college quarterbacks coming out.
Mm.
Excellent rosters, not the crappy ones,
mm-hmm.
appear to be the ones potentially needing a quarterback. That Dak says, give me the franchise.
Mm-hmm.
We all perceive it to be a slap. But if he goes to the market next year, we know Garoppolo and the Niners is not a long-term fix. And we also know Deshaun Watson's going to be, it's going to be a bidding war.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you tell me. I mean, you start, I'll put this for our radio audience, can't see this. Look, these are talented rosters on the screen. Saints, Patriots, Niners, Vikings, Steelers, Broncos, Dolphins, Bears. Could you make an argument? This is the rare instance a quarterback should seek the franchise tag.
You can make the argument because that may be his only option, right? Let's be real about it. That may be Dak Prescott's only course of action. So you can make the argument, but now the question is, and the reason why franchise tags are frowned upon is what happened to Dak Prescott. He got hurt. Your momentum going into last year wasn't based off of wins per se, even though people say it's based off of wins. Dak Prescott winning his quarterback for whatever in history, look at the stats. But he ain't beating good teams. Stats are a little off. They're skewed because he's getting garbage time stats. People have said the same arguments about Dak Prescott. Is he worth the amount of money? He's good enough where you can justify the market for him being the next guy, but he's not good enough where you say he's one of the elites where he should demand it and command it. Those quarterbacks that got through and made it through the gauntlet and got those big contracts, Colin, they made it to a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
All of them, except for Deshaun Watson. He's the only wild card, right? If you think about Goff, if you think about Wentz, all these guys have
Mahomes,
had Super Bowl. Mahomes,
yeah.
They've all had Super Bowl appearances. Some have had accolades. MVPs. Hey, you want to be an MVP? You could get the contract, Dak. There's no problem. You want to go to Super Bowl? Hey, Dak, there's no discussion points about this, what we're talking about right now. But he doesn't have those on his resume. So how do you justify where Dak Prescott is right now? I almost feel as though we have turned the Dak Prescott conversation into such a major conversation that we almost lose sight of why it's justified to give contracts even based off of where the market has gone. I don't know that Dak Prescott has totally blown people away on being able to get this contract, and that's why we're where we're at right now. So I don't think that going into a franchise tag year and playing this out and say he makes it through, I think the only way this works out for Dak Prescott is they have to have a successful season. And that successful season means making the Pro Bowl, possibly being up for the MVP of the league, possibly making it to at least the finals, right? At least the championship round. If you can make it to the championship round, to the Super Bowl, you get your deal. That's what happens. That's how this works. But we're trying to justify Dak Prescott getting the type of money that Mahomes gets and the type of money that Deshaun Watson gets, and he's not as good as Deshaun Watson. He's not as good as Patrick Mahomes. Mm-hmm. He hasn't accomplished on that level, Colin. Yeah. So how do we continue to justify it? I don't even think that scenario plays out that way in the free agent market, even if he does get a franchise tag this year.
Finally, Baker Mayfield said he saw a UFO. Fine with me.
Okay.
Tom Brady, after I rolled my eyes at Baker.
You're on that list, from what I gather.
Well, we do. I am part.
I don't know if you wanted that information out there.
No,
you know?
I saw a UFO.
Okay.
I've talked about it.
Okay.
So there's a Venn diagram.
All right.
Where Tom Brady, Baker Mayfield, and I, the one thing we have in common. So Tom said yesterday, Colin, how do you know I haven't seen an alien? Baker says he saw it. There's our Venn diagram.
All right.
And I did see it in Grayland, Washington years ago. I've talked about it on the air. Have you ever seen a alien?
I think I've seen plenty of aliens, Colin. I grew up in the inner city. So, you know, and I grew up in the inner city in the 90s. So
how about UFOs?
You know, it's interesting. Where I come from, a UFO was a police helicopter. That's a UFO, you know. It was an unidentified flying object that was coming to look over things, you know. That was a UFO where I come from. So, yes, I have seen UFOs. Now, terrestrial, you know, from outer space, I've seen shooting stars.
Yes, I've seen a lot of them.
I don't know that those were UFOs of propulsion, jet propulsion, or some whatever the technology would be from the outer space, if it was from Jupiter or Saturn or something like that. I don't know what their technology would be, but I've seen streaks across the sky.
Yeah,
we call them shooting stars, but who's to say? You know, it's an object. It's flying. I don't know what to identify it as, so I would say it's an unidentified flying object, which would qualify as a UFO.
That's what I saw once.
There you go.
I could not identify it.
We're on the same page, Colin.
And that's what Neil said, too.
That's what they are.
You don't know what you don't know.
Yeah.
If you don't know, you don't know.
Those Phoenix lights everybody sees, you just can't identify them. So they're flying in their objects, you just can't identify them. LeVar Arrington, hosting with Joy Taylor today. Speak for yourself. Great to have you in. Always appreciate that.
Love when I come on. Thank you.
Alec, you bet.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's me, three-time Pro Bowler LeVar Arrington, and I couldn't be more excited to announce a new podcast called Up On Game. What is Up On Game, you ask? along with my fellow Pro Bowler, TJ Hushmanzada, and Super Bowl champion, yep, that's right, Plexico Burress. You can only name a show with that type of talent on it, Up On Game. We're going to be sharing our real-life experiences loaded with teachable moments. Listen to Up On Game with me, LeVar Arrington, TJ Hushmanzada, and Plexico Burress on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Alex Curry with the news.
No.
Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
Well, the Jets are still weighing their options at the quarterback position. They could bring in a rookie with the second pick in the draft or give Sam Darnold another chance. But former Jets quarterback Mark Sanchez thinks it would be best if they move on from Darnold. Sanchez said, as soon as he goes 3 and out 2 times this year, his bleep is getting booed out of the stadium. It's not fair to the kid. They got to do something fast and get him out of there. And Colin, I think we've both said this. He deserves a second chance. Darnold deserves a second chance.
I mean, he literally had the second lowest rated offensive line. They couldn't depend on the health of their tight ends, a terrible running game, and bottom five wide receiver talent. I think the only person that could have survived, you know, Andrew Luck is the kind of guy that would win some games there, but it's just you need these, especially when he's young. So he came into the league, he was 20. So he was already, he was a high school linebacker for a year. He didn't have the reps other people did. I'm not making excuses. I think he deserves a fair shot. I would like to see him with a successful veteran head coach and not even weapons. Just give him a good O-line. You know, in New York, he was just running for his life on every series. And I just feel like it felt very Andrew Luck. The difference is Andrew Luck is a generational once-in-a-decade quarterback talent out of college. Sam's just really talented.
So. You can't be great if you don't have great protection.
It starts with that. That's why Philip Rivers, who we thought was done, won 11 games or 10, was he? Won 11 games in Indianapolis because he was never rushed. Philip Rivers had 4.5 seconds to throw. It's everything.
It's everything. Yeah. Work out for both parties. All right, well, a few different NFL stars have been considered in the GOAT conversation over the years, but Tom Brady is running away with it after winning his 7th Super Bowl. And Joe Montana is one of those players who had an argument against Brady, but even he admits Tom has had the title for a while.
Well, I think Tom has, you know, taken his place on the top up there a long time ago. So he's had a tremendous career. It's fun to watch. And yeah, there's always, you know, everybody always contests over that. But I think if you look at what Tom's been able to accomplish and his time that he's played, I think it's, you know, puts him definitely up there in the top of the list.
It's going to be funny. Like in 30 years, you know, you're going to be sitting around. I won't be, but somebody will be here 20 or 30 years and you're like, yeah, so Brady.
Yeah.
He had like 2 careers in New England and then he just went to Tampa. Like Tampa? You know, like he went to Tampa and he won a Super Bowl, like over Aaron Rodgers and over Russell Wilson. And first year, by the way. And what was crazy about it, they had no preseason, no OTAs, no camp because of a pandemic. You're going to look back at this and go, how the, like if all the years moving to a new team wouldn't work, it'd be a pandemic year.
Oh, yeah.
No OTA, no camp, no preseason. A coach who's talented but kind of runs a different offense than you. And you're going to look back and go, God, he really was great. I mean, Montana and Favre won when they left.
Yeah.
But to win the Super Bowl, and then, oh, by the way, who'd he beat? Oh, yeah, it was the Kansas City Chiefs who went on to win like 5 Super Bowls. Yeah, they beat them. I don't think we quite understand the magnitude of how great it is, and we will in 10 to 15 years when Kansas City reels off 4 more Super Bowls.
Oh, yeah. I've always said, why can't we just appreciate greatness when it's right in front of your face? And I think the nail in the coffin for Tom Brady was winning his 7th Super Bowl ring. That's more than any NFL franchise has. He's 43 and thriving. It's undeniable. So, yeah, there you have it. Tom Brady. Go. All right, we're moving on to the highly anticipated film Space Jam, A New Legacy, which will be released this summer. And we're getting a closer look at what to expect. In an exclusive interview with Entertainment Weekly, LeBron gave fans a sneak peek with some of the first official photos of the film. I cannot wait for this. Space Jam was such a big part of my generation's childhood. And I'm excited, kind of like how The Last Dance reintroduced this younger generation to Michael Jordan and everything that he meant to the NBA and the sports world. I feel like this is going to do that again all over again with Space Jam to this next generation.
I never saw it.
You never saw it.
I think I was a generational miss. I didn't
see.
You were
a tweener.
It's just one of those. You know, I also didn't watch the Karate Kid trilogy or how many movies there were.
I didn't see the Karate Kid either, so I'm out on that one.
I was out on that one. Yeah. I didn't. There's stuff else. I never watched an episode of Lost. I did not watch Game of Thrones. I never saw Raging Bull, which everybody says is a top five movie ever.
Okay.
I missed on some stuff.
You did miss on some stuff. But what I love about Space Jam, you hear a lot of NBA players mention that it got them into basketball.
Yeah.
They fell in love with basketball, not just here, though, in the States, internationally.
Yeah.
So it's great for the game. It's great for LeBron, and I can't wait to see it.
Great stuff. Alex with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Lie News.
One of my favorite segments, Tomorrow's Headlines Predicted Today with Jason McIntyre, and that is next.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's me, three-time Pro Bowler LeVar Arrington, and I couldn't be more excited to announce a new podcast called Up On Game. What is Up On Game, you ask?
Along with my fellow Pro Bowler TJ Hushmanzada and Super Bowl champion, yep, that's right, Plexico Burress. You can only name a show with that type of talent on it. Up On Game. We're going to be sharing our real-life experiences loaded with teachable moments. Listen to Up On Game with me, LeVar Arrington, TJ Hushmanzada, and Plexico Burress on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts from.
This Sunday, don't miss your chance to win $10,000 of Clint Boyer's money during the NASCAR Cup Series race at Las Vegas. Download the Fox Bet Super 6 app and pick six outcomes in Clint's Stage 2 contest for your shot at a $10,000 guaranteed prize. It's completely free to play.
Jason McIntyre comes on every Friday, our final 10 minutes of the week. We're halfway through the NBA season, just about. So we want to go over some mid-season NBA headlines, and Jason McIntyre is now joining us live. Fox Sports Radio, Saturdays, 10 to 1 Eastern. All right, let's go. It's America feels good. The vaccines are coming out. The stock market's fine. I see some economic numbers. America's in a good space. I'm getting very happy. Yeah. So let's finish off the week good. So let's go. Tomorrow's headline today. Let's start with this. Production people. Surprise team this NBA season, J-Mac.
Yeah. This is one that's been beat up a lot. They're struggling. But Colin, I got some good news. The headline will be in need of a four-leaf clover. The Boston Celtics. One of the big disappointments in the NBA this season. Now, the meatballs on NBA Twitter, they're just blasting Danny Ainge, Brad Stevens, get them out of town. What we haven't seen on the court is the Celtics' big four. Just 28 minutes all season of Kemba, Tatum, Brown, and Marcus Smart. That's it, 28 minutes, Colin. That's why they stink. I just bet on them this week, plus 1,200 to win the East. I think there is value, Colin. This team is loaded when healthy. And remember, three of the last 4 years, guess who's made the Eastern Conference Finals? The Boston Celtics. I think nobody matches up better in the East with the Brooklyn Nets than these Celtics. I love Jason Tatum, Marcus Smart, an elite defender. This is a bye team for me. They've been the biggest surprise so far in the NBA season.
I like your take. Tomorrow's headlines today. Who's going to be your rookie of the year this season?
Oh, boy. Well, it's this guy, we know him well, of course, right? You know his dad. The rookie of the year will be LaMelo Ball. Don't lie. Colin, LaMelo Ball has been tremendous.
Yeah.
I had Muggsy Bogues on my podcast recently, and he's watching him in Charlotte every night. He said, Jason, this kid reminds me of Penny Hardaway. I've got guys telling me, you watch LaMelo Ball, you see a little bit of Magic Johnson. There is confidence. The kid's putting up great numbers as a rookie, 37% from three. And I know it's a bad, you know, look for Lonzo Ball that LaMelo's doing everything that Lonzo was supposed to do. But you know what? LaVar Ball did a disservice to Lonzo. He really put a target on his back. And we talked about that back when he was drafted. Like, you can't hype the guy forever. LaVar Ball said nothing about LaMelo. He's just going in and taking care of business. Charlotte is a fun team, Colin. And I will bet you a steak dinner, your restaurant, wherever you're moving to, okay? LaMelo Ball has at least the fourth most TV games next year in the NBA. They are going to put Charlotte all over your TV. He's like the new Luka right now. Everybody loved Luka last year. Now it's the LaMelo Ball story.
Good stuff. Tomorrow's headlines today. Who's going to be your MVP in the NBA?
You know, I was lobbying some of your staff that we need to make this an entire 30-minute segment. You know, everybody, the battle over the NBA MVP is fierce. The headline will be, rightful heir takes back the crown. Colin, it's LeBron. He's going to take it from Joel Embiid and all the Philadelphia fans. I used to live in Philly. You know that. You plucked me out of Philadelphia to bring me out west. And they're going to be upset when they hear this, but LeBron is the MVP. And Colin, I cannot overestimate what this guy is doing at 36 years old, okay? Impacting winning, okay? Top 20 in points, assists, and rebounds. Colin, we don't see this. And when I look at the MVP race, I break it down into three facets. Is your team winning? Check. Lakers top three in the West. You know, the stats, LeBron, as I rattle off 25-8-8, check. And the eye test. Colin, when you watch the Lakers, I don't know you're watching them all the time. A 36-year-old taking control of the offense, leading them without Anthony Davis. He's basically playing with one hand tied behind his back. I think LeBron's the MVP. And remember, last year Giannis won the MVP. He didn't really deserve it. And then in the offseason, he's like, yeah, LeBron's the best player in the NBA. So just remember, if you vote for Embiid, and when they get bounced in the playoffs and LeBron goes to the finals again, oh, LeBron is the best player in the NBA.
Tomorrow's headlines today. What's going to be the headline for the NBA Finals this season?
Ooh, this is juicy. This is real spicy. The headline will be KD versus LeBron, part four. Now, if you remember the first time KD was in OKC and the Heat dispatched them, the next two, you know, Kevin Durant was in Golden State and they throttled LeBron. This one, oh, this has the makings of a classic. LeBron and AD versus the big three with Durant, Harden and Kyrie. I don't see anyone stopping them in the East. You and I agree. Giannis, you know, it's just not happening.
Right.
Embiid and Ben Simmons is interesting. I talked about Boston earlier, but Brooklyn's the class of the East. In the West, Colin, I don't believe in the Clippers. On Undisputed last week, I just throttled them up and down, just trashed the Clippers. All these people in LA are upset with me. Look at the clutch time numbers. Final 5 minutes of games.
Bad.
Worst defensive rating in the league. The Jazz are good, but eh. The Phoenix Suns are a team to watch, but it's going to be the Lakers and Nets in the finals.
All right. Tomorrow's headlines today. Who's going to win the NBA championship then?
Well, this is a tough one. The headline will be Brooklyn builds bridge to championship. I've got the Nets. I have been on the Lakers for a while, but Colin, this James Harden addition has been off the charts good. I mean, nobody saw him becoming this good of a player. I didn't mention him earlier in the MVP, but Colin, you know, no player has been traded in season and won the MVP. Harden's going to be in the mix for that. We'll see how he meshes with KD when he comes back, but James Harden, Kyrie, and Durant on the perimeter, I just don't know if the Lakers can match up well with them.
Fair.
And I know the counter is going to be, well, who stops Anthony Davis? It's like, okay, we'll give Anthony Davis a bunch of twos. You know, it's a math equation. Harden, Kyrie, and Durant are going to splash 23s, and good luck with that. So I've got the Nets right now, obviously subject to change, but I do believe the Nets are the team to beat right now. By the way, they are favored according to the odds in Vegas.
How about that? You know, Harden's also, his assist numbers are very good. You know, we'll see how it plays out in the playoffs. But to your point, I would say this. Philadelphia is good, but I still don't think Embiid and Simmons are great together. Yeah. Miami, little lightning in the bottle. Now, they've been beat up a lot this year. Their health's an issue. Milwaukee doesn't finish well, and I don't think Boston has the offensive firepower. So I do feel like today they get in. Oh, now I want to throw this at you. You've always been a big-time Jets fan. This week, the Jets put the house up for sale this week. We're going to take calls on Darnold. As a Jets fan, the fan part of you, your thoughts on Darnold moving and Zach Wilson probably entering New York?
Yeah, well, you know, we love Darnold. He was at USC. I was out here watching him dominate. I was very excited. He's going to be the first franchise quarterback. And Colin, it never really materialized. You know, he didn't really have a fair chance. I think he could succeed in San Francisco or somewhere else. But it just didn't work with the Jets. It's disappointing. Adam Gase was a train wreck and you feel bad for Darnold because he will succeed, and people will say, see, the Jets mismanaged him. But listen, I'm not keeping Darnold and then paying him $25 million in a year when I can have Zach Wilson on the rookie deal and I've got a lot of free agent capital and draft capital to build around him. I believe in Joe Douglas, and I think I said this on your show a few weeks back. Joe Douglas was in Baltimore and won a Super Bowl with Joe Flacco. Okay, Joe Douglas was in Philly and won a Super Bowl with Nick Foles. He understands that you can win with a kind of lesser quarterback. He doesn't have to be a superstar. I just believe the Jets can build around him, get better in the trenches, and they can make a run. But Colin, this is what's concerning me. If the Miami Dolphins get Deshaun Watson, you've got to deal with Josh Allen and Deshaun Watson and Bill Belichick still in the division. So the Jets, it's never easy for my team, and my kids are still asking me, Dad, why are you a Jets fan again? I mean, it's every football season I got to deal with this.
Good seeing you, J-Mac. Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre, popular podcast on iHeartRadio. Great seeing you, my man.
All right, pal. Talk to you.
Yeah, we have a story earlier today that the Washington football team, Alex Smith, is officially out in Washington, so they don't have their quarterback for next year, said the story, on their roster. So you start looking around. They could go Marcus Mariota, but you kind of know his ceiling. It's not terribly high. I don't think Cam and Ron Rivera are going to meet up again. I think they're both done with each other. Who else is out there? Deshaun Watson, you could make a huge run, but boy, you'd have to give up a lot. And, you know, Houston's not taking phone calls right now. So, you know, Garoppolo's got the injury issues. I don't think you'd want that as a long-term play. The safest one to me in Chicago looks like, you know, they'll listen to anybody, but Nick Foles is there and capable of starting. Taylor Heinicke is, you know, he's a 27-year-old, two career starts. Darnold to Washington feels formidable to me. And according to one reporter at ESPN, expect movement soon. The name he keeps hearing that's making calls for all these quarterbacks is the Washington football team. Black Rifle Coffee Company, veteran-owned, serving premium coffee to people who love America. Please put our code in. Go to blackriflecoffee.com/herd. That code, H-E-R-D, herd, gets you 20% off your first coffee club order. I drink it every day. Coming to work is fantastic. Alex Curry, you've been wonderful.
Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
You bet. See you Monday in the herd.